Ready to roll? Ready to roll? I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this morning. I ask that you please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
Motion to take the accept the minutes first.
Move to accept the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. First on the agenda, Jeff Weber and Dan Sack. You don't have Dan, baby.
Jeff Weber's here, but Dan Sack has been had to go out of town and brought another one of our board members, Julia Abel. Julia is the senior human resource and employment director for Cincinnati Children's Hospital. So we're very excited to have her here with us today, and she's a member of the Workforce One Investment Board and serves on our external relations team. So. Anyway, I just want to take a minute to and also as far as our one stop here in Butler County in Fairfield, Jerome Kearns from Job and Family Services is here representing the one stop operator. Since I came before you a year ago, it's been a very busy year as Commissioner Jolivet can attribute to being involved in this board, both at the state level, the regional level, and also at the local level. Much has been happening with workforce development. And at our, I thought what I'd do is just kind of touch on some of the highlights from the past year. At our one-stop training and employment centers, as you know, we're part of a three-county operation with Butler, Warren, and Claremont counties. Approximately 52,000 customer visits occurred over the last year. These visits, visitors received any types of services ranging from employer applicant screening to classes and workshops for job seekers and reemployment for job matching activities, things in our resource rooms, whatever. There's a wide gamut of activities. Workforce One, one of the highlights over this past year was we sponsored a regional community forum on workforce development, economic development, and education at the Great Wolf Lodge and Convention Center in Mason, bringing together folks from workforce development throughout the region, both public and private sector representatives. And the topic of that particular event was the challenges of having four different generations in the workforce currently. We were fortunate to bring in a best-selling author, Lynn Lancaster, who wrote a book called When Generations Collide, and I think it really resonated with employers and anyone that talks about generational gaps in any kind of organization. We're hoping again in the fall to sponsor another community forum. Workforce One has played a leadership role in providing policy guidance to Governor Strickland and his administration as they implement numerous structural changes within workforce development services at the state level. We have worked continuously with the Department of Development, Department of Job and Family Services, the Board of Regents has increasingly become involved in workforce development activities, as well as the Governor's Workforce Policy Board. And additionally, on the federal level, We've been involved in working with our federal representatives in Congress on things like the reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act. One other thing I would mention to you, and then have Julia give you a few highlights from our work team perspective. Workforce One was given a grant by the state of Ohio this year to work on a comprehensive database system to address the needs of the layoffs that have been occurring in the auto industry throughout southwestern Ohio. In our area, primarily, it's been at Batavia and Sharonville and some repercussions from things happening up in Montgomery County. But we were have been working with the University of Cincinnati's Institute for Policy Research, and they have been conducting a study, the first phase of which has been completed. They're still working on the second phase, and actually have established a new database which is housed right here in Butler County, called the JET system, which is stands for the Jobs of the Economy of Tomorrow system. So hopefully that will continue to be populated by data from UC and will be a valuable resource for employers and people doing workforce planning in this part of the state. So with that, I will be happy to answer some questions. But first, why don't we have Julia, who again is a key member of our board, come up and give you a little idea of how our work teams focus in on different aspects of workforce development. Julia?
Jeff, do you have a handout? Do you want to go ahead and distribute?
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to talk this morning. I'm happy to be here. I want to talk a little bit about the four teams that make up the Workforce Investment Board. The first is the Business and Economic Development Team, and their task is to align the workforce and the economic development efforts to ensure that there's adequately trained and readily available workforce, because it's so important in attracting and retaining businesses in Southwest Ohio. The team also serves as an avenue for increasing our level of awareness about current and future employer issues and trends, as well as examining data collection systems, which could benefit economic and workforce development efforts. And the external relations team, which I'm a member of, deals with a variety of external matters, including the media, legislative and regulatory issues, marketing and communications, and as an example of that, Jeff hosts a cable TV show called the Workforce One Forum. There's also the 2007 Workforce One annual report that you should have received, and the annual Investing in People employer recognition program. The third team is the performance team, which is charged with developing and reviewing performance criteria to ensure that our workforce system is successfully providing meaningful services to its customers and the workforce needs of employers are being fulfilled. And then the fourth team, which is the Youth Council team, focuses on preparing young people to become successful participants in the workforce and to address barriers and issues within our communities that may pose problems such as the high school dropout rate. Then the final team, the Operations Compliance team, is made up of the one-stop operators from each county. They assist the board in understanding what state and federal legal requirements must be followed in order to receive Workforce Investment Act funding. And they also assist the board in designing policies that can assist the system to better serve the customers. So all of these teams are working together to work with employers such as Cincinnati Children's as partners to ensure that the workforce is developed and is there for all of our business needs. So from my perspective as a representative of employers, I'm really honored to be part of the Workforce Investment Board. I think we really work well as partners.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. President, yeah, I just wanted to add that Jeff and Mary Ann do an excellent job of coordinating their efforts between the three counties, and we've got a really good relationship Warren County and Claremont County. And Julie, it's nice to see you. You know, I think this is your first year on the board, or a year and a half, two years?
Just a couple of years.
Yeah, and so happy to have you a part of the board, and also having Children's Hospital a part of the board, part of our community. With the opening date is August?
Well, the opening day officially is August 11th.
August 11th.
That's when we open the doors for business. But actually, August the 1st, we are holding an open house for community leaders, and all of you are invited, and I'll drop off the RSVP cards, and you might also get something in the mail as well. So August 1st, we'll have the tours for the community leaders, and then August 2nd, Saturday, we'll have an open house for the community, which we anticipate may be up to 10,000 people there.
Yeah. How many employees will there be at Children's?
Well, initially, we're looking at somewhere between 400 and 500 employees. But, you know how it's just amazing the amount of families that live out there. And we suspect that as they get used to bringing their children to a pediatric facility rather than an adult facility, we probably will grow even more.
Is there going to be a good percentage of those hired from Butler County? And
well, I would tell you that we're filling most of, we're 80% full right now as far as staffing is concerned. Most of those are our current employees who live in Butler County. So it's been quite easy to fill those positions because we have a lot of staff that live out in Butler County, and they're eager to work closer to home.
A lot of staff that have driven down to Cincinnati or want to transfer out to Butler County. But
not
that
such
would
a
be,
great drive.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Jeff, with you said the database information about the state is utilizing. Seems to me that the state is putting a lot of emphasis on workers training of jobs that are already here. Is that true?
Absolutely. There has been a refocus on that over the last year or so. The state refers to it as incumbent worker training. A couple of things have happened. The state has become much more aggressive in asking the Department of Labor at the federal level for waivers. These waivers allow the folks within the workforce areas and within these counties to move certain percentages of their funds away from adult and dislocated workers into incumbent worker training. In other words, it gives the local jurisdictions more flexibility to utilize the money for different things that are needed at the local level. What this also the Ohio Department of Development has given some funding through the legislature, specifically earmarked for incumbent worker training. A couple of the folks here in the audience today, Brian Coughlin and Kenny from the Hamilton Chamber, as well as Workforce One, have been involved with working on incumbent worker training through Butler Tech. There's a manufacturing consortium there, so that's an example here in our area. Over in Warren County, we've worked with some companies over there. What it allows a company to do is, for instance, if their suppliers to a company, and they need to change their process or their training needs change, this incumbent worker funding can allow them to update their training needs, upgrade their employees' skill levels, and many times it leads to new opportunities for hiring in people at the entry level. So it's a job creation opportunity as well as saving and adapting already existing jobs. So that's been a focus that some other states have had over the years, but I think the new administration has gotten much more aggressive about providing flexibility to the local and regional workforce efforts here.
Well, I think just to add on that, that, you know, under Jeff's leadership and the board's leadership, the state is really has looked to Butler, Warren, Clinton County for the leadership to make sure that workforce boards throughout the state just aren't doing business as usual, but are based on performance. And that's something that we insisted on and changed within the state through Jeff and Bob Summers and the board. So good job. Let's keep it up.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
Hey, quick question. Mm-hmm. How's the economy in the last 6-8 months impacted your agency? And what do you see going forward in the next 12 months?
The biggest impact in our area has been Batavia and the Ford closure. And that's had significant impact. It's also having an impact on Sharonville because those two plants are under the same UAW union contract. The thing, Commissioner Dixon, that you find in regionally is that, and Julie, I think, can attest to this just in the question that Commissioner Jolivet asked about where people live and where they work. Just because Batavia is closing down doesn't mean it doesn't have implications on Butler County or Warren County or, you know, all throughout the region. But the auto industry and the residual impact that it has on suppliers and things like that is the thing that's really been felt the toughest, not just in our area of the state, but throughout Ohio, as far as the economy.
Do you see more of that coming in the next 12 months?
I think the challenge really is to, and the focus right now is, and again, this is something that's been relatively recent in the past year with the state administration, is a real focus on proactive, preventative, what they call layoff aversion programs. And that's much of the reason that I think you've seen workforce development and economic development, chambers of commerce, all working more closely, sharing information, just trying to be more intelligent about what's going on out there. Before, you know, the first time you hear about something is when you get a warn notice that says the plant's closing. That's way too late, as you well know. So now, what we're trying to do is understand better what's going on if a plant is struggling in Cleveland, and they have other operations in southwestern Ohio. Then what we want to do is get in there early and see if you know, if there's problems brewing there that we can intervene and help in a number of ways. So,
like in Middletown, we've got 2 or 3 companies closed, announced closings in the last month or so. Did your agency talk to? Were you in there involved with them?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't personally, but I know our one-stop system in Middletown overlaps kind of both Butler and Warren. One situation was really averted up there in Franklin Box Company. They were on the verge of closing and were able to get some labor agreements in place to stay open. So,
is Workforce One, how do they do that? How do they get involved in those labor negotiations to do that?
Just kind of develop relationships and try to have an ongoing relationship with a company when the times are good as well as when the times are bad. I think that's the key to it is don't just show up at the 11th hour when many times it's too late. And I think, like I said before, we have obviously limited staff and limited resources, but when you network with economic development folks, both at the state and the county, and Brian's network of folks at the town and city level, with the chambers of commerce, and with our you know, contacts through organizations like SHRM, the human resource managers organizations, and things like that. I think we have a better pulse on what's going on ahead of time. There's not nearly as many surprises. I mean, almost not a day goes by that I don't get a WARN Act notice emailed to me. Fortunately, most of them aren't coming from southwestern Ohio, but you know, at first people would say, well, why do you care what's going on in Toledo? Well, just because it's all kind of interconnected, so the level of intelligence, I think, has really been heightened at the state level and pushed out through the various regions of the state to just try to be smarter about the approaches that we're taking.
So, based on that information, do we kind of feel like we're getting more indicators that we're going to have more trouble in the employment sector in our area? Because, I mean, helps us in budgeting. You know, what do we get to look forward to? If you're out on the front line, it would seem like you're going to know that before we know it.
Well, I would say, and Brian, you may, you know, have some things to add as well, but this is kind of a unique situation down in this area, I think, versus some of the other parts of the state. Is even though we do have for instance, we had a truck line close down on Crescentville Road.
Right.
At the same time, we have other operations that are opening up. has happened? We had an operation close over north of Pisgah. But because of the relationships that have been established, we had employers hiring many of those people that same day. They actually didn't even miss a day of work. So it's knowing what's going on and knowing also who's in an expansion mode. I mean, I think largely this area is pretty positive story to tell. There's some things that just are, you know, when you're part of a larger corporation, there are decisions that are made that aren't really reflective so much of anything that was particularly done at a location here. It's just part of a larger, strategy as far as what they're going to operate and what they're not going to operate. But for the most part, you know, our real goal is to get people re-engaged in employment quickly and get them up to the wage level that they've been accustomed to. The toughest one to address is the auto workers that have, you know, in their frankly. You have a big education gap too. Many of these people don't have anything past a high school degree, and the world has changed drastically since they went to work 20, 30 years ago. And to get them re-engaged is a challenge in itself. The other part of that, and Julia, we've talked about this, is in those particular situations, you may have had a one-income household. Now, all of a sudden, the spouse is going to probably have to think about, you know, entering the workforce for the first time in many years, just to have an income level that they've been accustomed to. And you know, certainly in the healthcare industry, there's lots of opportunities in the healthcare industry for folks to, you know, go to a place like Butler Tech and get certified to become employed. So that's probably one of our biggest challenges.
Good, thanks.
I think
I see that Pat South, Commissioner in Warren County, is still involved. She's given a lot to this program, and she's really been a mainstay and a key factor in workforce. So, and I think just wanted to mention that.
Well, she'll be glad to hear that. I know, and she's our representative on the board from Warren, and Bob Proud is our representative from Claremont, and. They, along with Commissioner Jolivet, are you know, members of our leadership team, and you know, stay connected to. It is a challenge sometimes to have three counties all rowing in the same direction. But I think it's you know, it's good for the employers, and it's good for the employment base, because, like Julie will tell you, you know, the boundaries that are established around here aren't established by employers, they're established by governments, and they just want good people that are trained, that show up and work hard, and you know, we all drive back and forth across county lines all the time, but we do appreciate your support, and certainly if you have any more questions, feel free to get in contact with us.
Thanks, Julie.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julia.
Thanks, Julia.
Butler County Port Authority. Quaker Chemical Corporation Project.
I'm pleased to be here this morning as Interim Port Authority Director. What we wanted to do is we'll have a brief presentation on the Quaker Chemical Project, and then we have assembled experts to answer any questions you may have. And we have Fred Sampson here with us from Quaker Chemical this morning to give you an overview of the project.
Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
I'm the Director of Operations for Quaker. Quaker is a global manufacturer of chemical fluids that are used in the steel manufacturing and metalworking industries. And globally, we're about a $500 million company. And until about 5 years ago, we really had almost no activity in Ohio. Back then, we bought a small company in Middletown called United Lubricants, doing about 25 million pounds a year of production. And we've just really come to recognize this area as kind of the heart of our industry. Very well situated to where our customer base is and our supplier base. And so in the past 5 years, we've moved the headquarters to a portion of our sales operation here to Middletown. I myself have relocated Middletown. I've kind of made this the base of our operations. And so the next step for us is increasing our production in Middletown. We're hoping the commission will support us in our expansion efforts. Like, spend about $20 million to do roughly a 12,000 square foot expansion of our facility, bring in some new blenders and reactors. Really, I don't know if I could say cutting edge technology, but certainly up to date technology in terms of automation of batch chemical processing, which will really give us a leg up on our competition as far as the efficiency of making our products, as well as the quality and reproducibility of making our products. And what we hope to do with this expansion is take production currently being produced in our Detroit facility, which is in the city limits of Detroit, very antiquated facility, and move that production down here to Middletown. And so that's our plans, and if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
We certainly want to welcome you, and we're certainly happy that you chose Butler County. And whatever we can do, obviously, I think the citizens of Middletown are very appreciative, as are we. We definitely want to help any way we can to make sure you're happy here, and we appreciate your move. Right. You guys have anything?
How many jobs will you be with an expansion?
A total of 40 jobs additional.
Mm-hmm. Additional as to, and then how many altogether do you have?
Off the top of my head, just in our operations portion, there's about 30 currently. The site in total, as mentioned, I have sales, also some chemical management people. I think in total we're around 75 to 80.
Great. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Brian, you have anything else to add?
Fred, Brian, I think what you're here for today, and correct me if I'm wrong, Abbott, is that you're seeking approval for the issuance of industrial development bond in the amount of $10 million or?
The Port Authority is actually going to be the issuer of those bonds, and those bonds, like any other conduit financing, it will be the obligation of Quaker, not either of the Port Authority or of the commissioners. This resolution we need because of a provision in the Internal Revenue Code. You all are the applicable elected officials, and we need applicable elected official approval for the Port Authority's bond, so that's why the resolution's before you.
And the amount is
$10 million? Yeah.
Okay. And I also see where the state, through the 166 loan program, is putting in $3.5 million. Is that still applicable here? Oh, good. So, Commissioners, we have a resolution to consider here to approve the Port Authority to move forward with an industrial development revenue bond in the amount of $10 million.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks. Communications, please.
Those down. That's the finance resolution and new sheet attached. Yeah. Okay, under communications, first is transfers and appropriations. We have in the general fund, we have some accounts will be reclassified according to new accounts that the auditor's office is requesting. Reclassification between accounts involving $3,000, $4,000, and $5,000. In general fund, the sheriff department has received a refund for a prior expenditure, so we're increasing that budget to replenish that fund for the refund that they've received. Under the motor vehicle fund, $1,250. There's a transfer to be requested in May, transferring some excess dollars out of one account into a new account. Under Stormwater Management Fund 1260, there's a $68,000 transfer between accounts to accommodate a new request by the auditor's account coding. Under the Prosecutor's Office, there's an additional appropriation. This is the Prosecutor's VOCA Fund, 1361, additional appropriation of $115.99 for unspent carryover dollars from 2007. For the Capital Improvement Fund, there's an increase in appropriations or budget of $156,000. That will enable this fund to repay the general fund for $156,000 that was advanced to the fund to allow the PSAPs to purchase new equipment through the special PSAP fund. And the PSAP fund now has reimbursed us, and so that transfer comes back. Under the Water Fund 4100, there's a transfer between two accounts for a subscription and renewal. And then under the Justice Assistance Grant 5525, there's another transfer of $3,450 between accounts to at the request for auditor changing coding. The second finance resolution is for the care facility. There is one entry, and that is a reclass of $60,000 between the two accounts in order to accommodate new account coding from the auditor's office. We also requested to approve an amended certificate of estimated resources for Fund 2000 in the amount of $177,380, and then for Fund 6028 for, that's the State Homeland Security Grant, for $3,227. Next, under personnel, you're asked to hire Vicki Asher in the position of Community Development Portfolio Manager in the Department of Development, Community Development Division, at a pay rate of $2,000.45 biweekly, effective May 19th, 2008. Next, under personnel, you're asked to approve Brenda McIntosh, Deputy Clerk, to be placed on a leave of absence without pay, lasting for a period of 12 weeks. Next, under personnel, you're asked to accept the resignation of Jan Clark from the Community or the Criminal Justice Board, effective May 2nd, 2008. As we progress to Job, Family, and Children's Services, we have one resolution that we request the approval for daycare contract with Faith Community Missionary Church in the amount of $250,000, effective April 1, 2008. Under Environmental Services are asking you to approve and execute an encroachment agreement with Roger Hankins, Operations Manager of the Drees Company, for property at Monroe Crossings. As we progress to the engineers, request, the engineer is requesting that you award a contract for janitorial services for night owl cleaning services in the amount of $53,940. The engineer requests that you execute, approve an execution of contract for the Swordsville Westchester Road bridge replacement with Don S. Sissel Contractor in the amount of $405,447. Next is a special, the engineer requests a special approval of special hauling permit with Dixie Crane Rental Company. Another special hauling permit with Schumacher Crane Rental Company. Next is another special hauling permit with Steel Transport, Inc. Next is another special hauling permit with Schumacher Crane Rental. Next, the engineer requests the exchange of performance bonds in the Village of Providence in the amount of $34,350. Engineer has a request for the exchange of a maintenance bond submitted for the Village of Providences in a penal sum of $46,697. Next is another request for the exchange of performance bond for the Village of Providence in the amount of $30,387. Next is another exchange for a sidewalk performance bond for the Village of Providences in the amount of $6,562. The engineer is also asking you to approve an agreement with ME Companies for minor project development process in the improvement of State Route 4. I'm assuming that's the bypass State Route 4 in Ohio. The engineer is asking you to approve an agreement with KZF Design, Inc. for engineering services. Finally, the engineer is asking you to approve the request for the City of Middletown for the allocation from the Permissive Motor Vehicle Tax Fund for street maintenance in Middletown in the amount of $169,185. Next, under miscellaneous, we're seeking the approval to advertise for bids for the site work package for the Butler County Animal Shelter in accordance with specifications under contract number 0805010.
Yeah, and that last one, that 169, is supposed to be 161, isn't it?
I think. Request. Did I misread that, Chuck?
Yeah, I just want to correct that.
All right, for the
Middletown allocation of funds.
Yeah, the actual resolution says 169,185,45. Okay. So on the agenda, it was probably inaccurate.
Okay.
If it is not 169, we'll come back next meeting for an adjustment to it.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner John Avett?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. President, if I could, on that one personnel action item we took to hire the community development portfolio manager, could we get a report on quarterly on the monies that she brings in? Because this new hire was explained to me that more than pay for her salary by collecting revenues that we weren't collecting in the past. I'd like to have some sort of tracking mechanism on that so we can make sure that that continues to do what they said it was going to do. So Tim could just make a note on that and let us get a quarterly report.
Yes, sir. I'll get something set up on that.
And these people were on, they have a probationary period, right?
No, that's correct.
Of a year, how much?
180 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner, say anything else?
There's nothing.
Okay. Anyone from the audience have anything at this time? Ron?
That's Victoria Nation. Is that a new position?
Well, it's a, if you want me to, it's a position with the merger of the CDC from Butler County into Warren County. The revolving loan fund of that, the revolving loan fund used to be a part of the CDC of Butler County. That is staying with the county. So that position is staying with the county. And also she'll be doing other duties with regards to the community block grant, as by recommendation from HUD, that there needs to be more personnel in that department. That was part of their report. And what that means is that, you know, when we go for grants and go for different types of money with HUD, that we could be taken down a notch in the scoring because of what they see as not enough personnel to handle the added additional grant money that would be coming in. So that's the recommendation, that this person would be doing dual duties, not only the revolving loan fund, but also some also work for the Community Development Corporation or department.
So she's not taking somebody else.
No, she's not.
But she's new.
Well, they're
that's requiring you to hire
her? That's their recommendation, is that looking at the department, that they're not enough staff to handle the workload.
HUD wants to capitalize on her experience as well, Ron, to put her into there because of her knowledge in that field.
And the quarterly report that I just asked for is I'm going to say the basis why I voted for it was because they assured me that by us monitoring our grants that we have been given out, that we're supposed to collect money from those when property sells or percentage of the loan or whatever the mechanism might be, that we're leaving more than that money on the table, and she's doing her job, what she's supposed to do, we should more than compensate for that salary. And I asked for a quarterly tracking report so we can do that, because if it's not, then I will not be in favor of passing the probationary period. But so I guess we'll know here shortly.
The request from Middletown for allocation of funds, is that their money already?
Each area gets X amount of money from the state, is my understanding, and that's their allocation. It's a formality as far as how they ask for it to receive it.
This is part of your gas tax money that comes back to the county to pay for road improvements. It's an allocation of that to the various communities.
I just got two other questions. I don't know what Workforce One is, really. I never got it from what they said. So they're seeing that people are trained to meet job requirements of employers.
It's a,
is it a government agency? Are they, those people sitting here, are they employees or are they volunteers?
They're employees.
The
county, and also Clinton County and Warren County. A board oversees their operations with all three counties, and what it does is facilitate employers and employees to be able to marriage the two. When an employer has a need, they can go to the workforce development and say, here's what we need, and then they find the people to fill those positions. And also from a employee stand or a worker standpoint, they can go to the workforce and hone their training with regards to their interest of what they want to be employed in, and they can help them with developing their skills so that they're marketable to employers that are looking for that type of position.
What can I read your job description? Not the individual, but the department.
Excuse me? There's only two in the department. Yes.
In Butler County.
In Butler County.
Where do I get the job description of what they're charged with doing?
Jerome Kearns can give that to you. And there are a lot more people in that in Workforce One. I think, Greg, you're talking about.
Oh, well, from the Butler Warren and.
Yeah. Greg.
There's more people that work in the. If you go down to Ron down on Fairfield and Dixie, Dixie?
Across from Bob Evans on Route 4.
That's where the facility is.
I never heard any mention of school involvement. If we're training people for jobs, why aren't the schools involved? I mean, I'm talking about our local public schools, our parochial schools, our universities. Why aren't they involved in this? The Butler Tech?
Butler Tech is integrally involved in the And Bob Summers sits on the board.
That's and, the only one?
Well, there's, I think there's other members from the board that represent the schools. But the schools are involved with regards to lending their, you know, support for what we want to accomplish with trying to get people jobs. And the biggest obstacle that we've seen in the last couple of years is people who are out of work or looking for work go to these Workforce One locations, job centers. The problem is that we're trying to market it to the employers so they'll utilize the facilities also. Because that's where, you know, you can't have a you have a worker doesn't have a job, so you need to have the employers to be involved with trying to utilize our facilities and what we're offering the workers, and that's been the emphasis of the last several years, is to market this to employers so that they will have the confidence of knowing that they can come to this location and state, hey, I need 25 workers, or I need X amount of workers, they need to have this skills, and then the Workforce One develops and helps them try to bring the right workers to their facility.
Who pays for that job?
Well, the state, the state helps out. There's different grants with regards to the state looking for retention. There's different programs that the state offers. There's also the Workforce Investment Act that from the federal that gives grants to help with training workers and trying to marriage the two. If you want, I can get you another. I'll give you this booklet here, this annual report, and you can take a look at it.
Okay. Move to adjourn.